Come, thou precious ransom, come, only hope for sinful mortals. Come, O Savior of the world, open our to thee all portals. Come, thy beauty let us see, anxiously we wait for thee. Amen. In the name of our Advent Savior and King, dear fellow redeemed, on the church calendar, today is the second Sunday in the Advent season, which is the time to prepare ourselves spiritually for the celebration of a Christ-centered Christmas. As Christians, we are not going to have just a happy holiday. This ought to be a joyous and spiritually uplifting time as we meditate upon the real meaning and message of Christmas. The message of Christmas centers around the fulfillment of the promise of God to send a Savior. This morning, we direct our attention to the first time that God made that promise. It was given in the presence of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it was the promised seed of the woman. That first promise to send the Savior is recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." What preceded that special promise of God? God had created a perfect world, perfect creatures, and two perfect people, Adam and Eve. At the close of the six normal days of creation, Scripture reports, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. On the seventh day, God rested. That is, he quit creating anything more. Adam was created from the dust or the ground, and God breathed into him a soul. Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs. They were two perfect, happy people living in the beautiful Garden of Eden. Sometime after the seventh day, a multitude of angels who had been created holy sinned against God, and they are called devils, who are forever rejected by God. The Apostle Jude wrote, "The angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." The devils have a chief who is called by various names in Scripture. Generally, he is referred to as the devil. And the other most common name is Satan, or that old serpent. The latter name was given because the devil used a serpent through whom he spoke to Eve. The Bible indicates that it was not a perfect world for very long. The Apostle John wrote, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." After the devil had sinned, he came into the Garden of Eden and tempted Eve to lead her into sin. God had told Adam and Eve, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." The devil came into the Garden of Eden, and he spoke to Eve through a serpent. He said to her, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He was suggesting to Eve that either she had misunderstood what God had said, or that God did not really mean what he had said. After listening to the devil, Eve repeated that God had warned them that they would die if they ate of the forbidden fruit. Then the devil said to her, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You quickly recognize that the devil is a liar. Referring to the devil, the Lord Jesus said to some of the Jews who refused to believe in Jesus as their Savior, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." We need to have our eyes opened so that we recognize the devil as the father of lies. He twists and turns what God's word says, and he tries to convince us that God does not mean what he says. Today, there are many people in the service of Satan. They are liars just like the devil. They say that what is written in the Bible is not the word of God at all, but that it is just the ideas and the opinions of different people who lived at different times. The devil has many followers throughout the world in every walk of life, especially among many politicians and many who want to be regarded as being religious leaders and teachers. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John wrote, "Many false prophets have gone out into the world, and it has not improved with the passing of the years." The devil lied to Eve in the garden, and as we say, she fell for it. She ate of the forbidden fruit, and then she also gave some to her husband Adam, and he ate. Both of them disobeyed God. Both of them sinned. They did what God said they should not do. As a result of their sin, we have in the world today sorrow and sadness, sickness and stealing, death and destruction, lying and lovelessness, hatred and anger, war, fighting, quarreling, and killing everywhere. And the list goes on and on. We are told in our text, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." People who do not believe that the Bible is God's word, and who often make fun of it, say that if it is true that part of the curse included "on your belly you shall go," evidently the snake must have walked on its tail before that. That really is not a statement of intelligence, but then man without God is not really all that intelligent. And we ought to remember that Scripture reports that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Others who do not believe what is written in the Bible insist that the whole conversation recorded in the Bible between the serpent and Eve was not possible because a snake cannot talk. It does not have vocal cords. All of the attempts that are made to disprove or discredit the Bible are simply part of the devil's tricks and lies. They are efforts to turn people away from what the Word of God really says. People really do not want to talk about sin, especially their own. It is easy to talk about the sins of others. Many do not want to admit that sin is even serious. In fact, in the minds of many, sinning is fun. People just have different ways of living. God's word tells us how sin came into the world. The devil sinned, and then Adam and Eve sinned. This sinfulness is passed on by birth to every generation. We call it original sin, the sinfulness with which we are born. It shows itself in all kinds of actual sins which we commit in thought, desire, word, and deed. You do not have to teach children how to sin. As they grow up, they will do what comes naturally. They will sin. They will quarrel and fight before they can even walk and talk. Place two little children on the floor with a few toys, and it won't be long, and they will be fighting before they can even walk or talk. Into this hopeless situation, God comes with the promise of a Savior, the promised seed of the woman. God said, "I will put enmity between you," that is the devil, "and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The promised seed of the woman was not the immediate descendant of Eve, although Eve thought so. When Cain, the first son of Adam and Eve, was born, many Bible translations record that Eve said something like this, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." A more accurate translation of the Hebrew is that Eve said, "I have gotten a man, the Lord." Eve thought that God's promise would be fulfilled through her son Cain. How her heart must have ached when years later she learned that she was the mother of the first murderer. Cain killed his brother Abel. The promised seed of the woman was fulfilled through the virgin birth of Jesus. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." When the time for Jesus' birth was drawing near, according to God's plan, the evangelist Matthew reports what the angel of the Lord told Joseph. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us," God and man in one person. The promised seed of the woman was sent by God to save us from our sins and to deliver us from death and the devil. In his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes of the fulfillment of God's promise. He says, "When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Incidentally, the virgin birth of Jesus is also rejected by many people, including many clergymen and religious teachers, some who even claim to be Christians. They reject it because it is contrary to science and human thinking that a virgin can conceive and bear a son. They reject it because the virgin birth is just as impossible as it is for a snake to talk. Reject and refuse to believe in the promised seed of the woman, and what do you have left? Not even an empty promise, but just people's opinions, which have us and which leave us in a hopeless and state spiritually. However, what did the promised seed of the woman accomplish? He lived the perfect sinless life and fulfilled all the commandments of God in our place. As the prophet Isaiah foretold, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have the Heavenly Father's promise. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Apostle Peter wrote, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The Lord Jesus also conquered death and the devil. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews wrote, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, that is Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." To the Christian congregation at Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." To Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Our Savior Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." In his first epistle, the Apostle John wrote, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The promised seed of the woman, the virgin-born Jesus, lived, died, and rose again to conquer for us sin, death, and the devil. When he had accomplished the purpose for which he came into the world, he ascended into heaven. He has gone on before us to prepare a place for us. It is the birthday of the baby Jesus, when the Son of God became the Son of Man, for which we are preparing to celebrate in this Advent season. In him we believe and put our trust for time and eternity. That is what makes us sing with the hymn writer, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Amen." And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.